If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. That's our focus this morning. That's our drive this morning. How do we get there? How do we get to that point? That if my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray. I want to tell everyone that names the name of Jesus. You are his people. He gave you the power when he came into this world to be the sons of God. He gave you the power. But if we look back at how do we exercise that, we have to look at what is the call for prayer that is given in this particular passage. It was a prayer of his people. It wasn't a prayer of the whole world. It was just a prayer of his people, how many ever that may be. It was the prayer of his people. So we would have to recognize who we are as his people. One thing for sure, the children of Israel recognized is who they were by their name. So if you name the name of Jesus, you are one of his. You have to be persuaded. You have to be fully persuaded. You have to know that you know, because that is to be the most important part of it. If you don't know who you are, how can you pray? If my people, do you know who you are? Which are called by my name, do you reflect who he is in the earth? Do you reflect? Morning, sir. All right. Do you reflect who he is in the earth? Are you sold 100% to him? Have you committed body, soul, and spirit to his trust? Have you acknowledged him in all your ways? Is his word a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Have you been baptized into Christ? Is this applicable to your life? That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, the people of God are people that God has changed. The people of God are people that God has changed. And how do you know if God has changed you? Excuse me. God has given you something that the world can't take away. And that is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is, he has given you a testimony. A testimony. And with that testimony, you have to ask yourself, what is the importance? What is the value? What is it about this testimony that the thief seeks to kill, steal, and destroy? What is it? What is it? It's yours. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you look, and we will, it's not a Bible study, but if you look in Revelation, it says about the testimony of Jesus Christ. You have it in you. So when the children of Israel came and they began to grow, the Egyptians recognized it. And I want you to know this morning that as you grow, all of that's kind of cold out here. But as you grow in God from the infant stage, you will walk through hard times. You will walk, and your enemy, that adversary that goes about as a roaring lion, he recognizes, he sees, because he goes to and fro in the earth. So if my people, which are called by my name, pull yourself aback, reach back into where your testimony is. Get excited over your testimony. Place your trust in the testimony that God has given you. Place everything in that, what you know to be true. And once you place it in there and go back to God, you place it there in a place of repentance and humility before God. Because it is at this place of humility and repentance before God that you will be humbled. And it's at a place of humbling that you'll have the strength to turn. And he said, your wicked ways, their wicked ways. Wickedness is the attitude of exploring without God. It's the attitude of exploring contrary to God. Wickedness is allowing the lustful things, materialism, things with a time stamp on them, separate you from God. Wickedness is walking in your own imagination in the way that you figure it. So if my people, you recognize who you are, which are called by my name, the testimony that you have is that mark, the testimony God put in your life, that crossroad, your meeting place with God, the Jacob's ladder experience, that something changed in you at this encounter. You go back to that. Because since then, pride has become the callous around your testimony that you can't get through. So you work through that pride. And the only way through it is in repentance, humbling yourself. As the children of Israel are growing and waxing stronger and stronger, they work in Egyptian. They commerce with Egypt. Now they become servants of Egypt. Now they become slaves of Egypt. Now even further, they appoint taskmasters over them. That's what changes it from working to slavery. A taskmaster. Because the taskmaster, at the whim of the wicked one, has the right or the power. To hurt you a lot more in life. Make life a lot more burdensome. Make life unbearable. Those taskmasters. And as they begin to grind in them over time, individually and collectively, the people said, enough is enough, and cried out to God. If my people would call on my name, would humble themselves and pray. When the taskmasters put it on, individually, everyone started to pray. Everyone started to cry out on the inside and on the outside. It was affecting both aspects of their life. So much that the fear and intimidation that they were using was recognized by Moses at one time. And his impulse, his instinct, which was in him, was to protect and recompense. But it was not the right place nor time
nor was the avenue which God was choosing. So Moses had to leave. And as this went on, Moses left. And as Moses left, he couldn't recognize it or see it, but God could. And while Moses was in a place that he had no clue that he would ever be, doing something he thought he would never do, as he watched the herd of his stepfather, one of the herd wanders, and over this 40 years that he's been in the desert, he's built compassion, love, and attachment to both parts, to the herd and to his father-in-law. So he had a spiritual connection, a commitment, and he also had a physical attachment to what it was that was alive. So he followed it. And I want you to know something, that when the things that you love go into an area or step into an area where danger is prevalent, or find themselves in harm's way, something inside of us do kick in, something different. And as Moses pursues and looks, he has an encounter. He has in a crossroad, something different happens. But I want you to see something. It was at a point where everything that Moses had known and learned in Egypt had pretty much subsided. The pride of Egypt was gone. That he recognized a burning bush that was not consumed. Watch me. He saw the bush. He gazed at the bush. And he recognized that over time something didn't happen to the bush. It was not consumed. And then God spoke to him. Prior to God speaking to Moses out of a bush, a burning bush that was not consumed, was similar to him speaking to Father Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees while he lived his life. And at this time, it was a time of obedience. And God called out to Moses for a reason. For the cry of my people, Israel, have come up before me. Cry of his people. You see, this prayer of Chronicles 7:14 is a prayer that God hears. It's a prayer that transcends us walking up and down the hallways or in a prayer room and screaming out. Prayer at the end of a service, the prayer at the end of a meeting, a prayer in a hospital. This is a different prayer. This is a prayer of desperation. This is a prayer of need. It's a prayer you recognize it. You need enough to do something about it. So this is going to be our guide for this prayer network. People talk about prayer, and prayer is wonderful. It's communication with God. But the 7:14 prayer is a prayer of urgency. It's a prayer of recognition. It's a prayer of understanding. And it's a prayer that you pray in the will of God for an expected end. So without obligation, without the burden of a taskmaster, organizing and setting up, we're just going to declare it. We're just going to declare it. We're going to declare see. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14. The days of my life. The prayer of the pandemic by the people of God. In the house of the Lord. So everyone that would like to join me, everyone that has felt that burden within yourself, I would like for you to join together with all of us. I don't want to say with me, but I want to say with all of us. If you join together with me, that's two of us. But he said, if my people would humble themselves. So this one here is for all of us. We all have to be in one mind and one accord and call out upon our Father. And he said he'd heal your land. He didn't say he'd heal the world. He said he'd heal your land. So as this prayer go forth, and the conversion of your life during this period, recognize the healing of your land. Recognize what God is calling you to do. Because in this, you will gain insight. You will gain, direction from God. God will speak to you. Because he already stands at the heart door and knock. And he wants to come in and sup. Heal your land. He wants you to come in. He wants to come in and sup with you and you with him. Partake of a relationship that only pushing back the cares of this life and casting your care upon him can afford. That's the relationship. He would heal your land. So don't be discouraged today. You look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, he will reap. Sow this prayer. Sow this prayer. So we're going to call this, people, Pandemic Prayer for the Prayer Network. And if you need to throughout the day today, steal away without telling anyone, go for it. If you need to shed a tear, go for it. If you need to cry, go for it. If you need to bawl out and cry, go for it. If you need to push back your meal, go for it. If you need to consecrate yourself anew, go for it. But whatever it takes to put you in a place of humbling yourself, to give you the strength to recognize what it is in you, not anyone else. This is about you. Change you. I didn't say break habits. I said change you. You turn from it. God, I give it to you. You're turning. You turn from it. You put your back on it and pray for God to give you the strength to go through it. You're not trying to break habits in this. You're not trying to appear to man to be something that you're not. But in this one, it all takes place on the inside. It all takes place with the inner man. And then true in your life. Have you recognized that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? Our fighting, our wrestling is spiritual. So this 7:14 pandemic prayer and fasting and consecration and witnessing It all plays in. You put God first. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, that turn is repentance. You're still going to be tempted. You're still going to face the struggles of life. It's not about that. You're turning to God. Life will work itself out. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Today is the day of salvation. Today. So you invite as many in as you want, as you can. Send it to everybody. I'm not going to put a video. I'm just going to use this recording. Because it's something that I believe in me. I know I recognize it. That we need to join together and proclaim it to the world. That as this enemy of ours goes about as a roaring lion, he would always recognize that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. He should always realize that just as with Job, that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear God, the hedge is there. We just need to join together, folks. It's not about an organization. It's not about an association. It's not about an affiliation. It's not about denomination. Non-denomination. It's about, do you believe God? Have you recognized and are you feeling that burden? And beyond just the feeling of material loss and the feeling of uncertainty, do you recognize that there's a burden inside of you that only God can lift or bear for you? The pandemic prayer is a place of you casting your care. It's a place of you taking up the yoke of the Lord. He said, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's lighten burdens. Our prayer is a prayer to God. It's not a prayer for supplies, resources. It's a prayer, a conversation with God. And once you get you out the way and spend some time in prayer, you'll see it. You'll see it. Push yourself past the place that you've been before. Get rid of the clock. Clear your agenda. And go sit and wait. Take you whatever it takes to stir you up. But once that stirring comes, allow it to continue. Allow the hurt, the pain, the cry to come out. For with groanings that cannot be uttered, your spirit begins to speak. With desperation, the inner man begins to cry out. But you've got to break past. You have to break past where it is that you're familiar with. It's not a comparison, folks. It's there that you lay yourself down. It is there that you really recognize, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's there that you get the boldness of Daniel, the Hebrew boys, the martyrs down through time, the victorious in God. That's where. That's us. You see? There's no tricks to it. It's just write down basics of the kingdom of God. So, let's go forward. Let's go forward. 7:14 every day. We're going to set that on our calendar. We're going to set that on our prayer book.
7:14 is our time. Stop and pray. Please listen to this message all the way through. This is the Word of God. This is nothing but from the Scripture. You ask how and we're delivered. We join together. So no matter where you are in the world, it's 7:14. Set your alarm and remember. Hey, this is Greg Heisman sharing some word with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your commitment to the prayer network. Thank you for your prayers you prayed on the prayer network. And I want to say keep on keeping on and be encouraged. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. And mercy.